Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Data Bank Dive. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is our show where, hey, like the title says, we dive into the databank and then also Wikipedia to just really study a specific Star Wars character, location, vehicle, tech. Basically, if it's a noun, it is up for grabs. And then we talk about how wild is it? How weird is it? How wondrous is it? If you're enjoying this show, we did do a first season of it on the great sci-fi app, The Companion. If you want to check that out, you can go search for The Companion and find it there. But we are happy to be up to episode 26, sharing our love of all of these things in Star Wars.
It's been a lot of fun having these discussions. We're having a great one today because we are in Mando season. We're still in Bad Batch season, by the way. But we have the trailer that came out this week. We are looking forward to Mando season 3. And that got me thinking, Joseph, about one of my favorite things of Mando season 1. And I hope maybe again future seasons of Mando. We will note we recorded this before the trailer dropped. So maybe the answer is in the trailer. Oh, we'll find out. But today we are going to be highlighting blurgs.
Yeah, blurgs.
Blurgs indeed. Here's what we do. We go into the StarWars.com databank. Then we'll take a peek at Wikipedia if we need some more information. And sometimes the databank doesn't even have an entry for what we're talking about, but that's not the case here today. Blurgs, according to the StarWars.com databank, are two-legged beasts of burden found on a number of worlds in the galaxy. Stoic and strong. They are used for everything from agricultural labor to war, foraging lazily in paddocks or carrying Twi'lek guerrillas and clone troopers into battle. Although they appear harmless and docile, their toothy mouths can betray a fierce demeanor. Females, as we learned in Mando season 1, are known to devour the males of the species during mating season. That is a powerful paragraph, Joseph. There's a lot in there.
There's so much in there, and I love the way this is framed. I can't remember the exact line of dialogue, but this says females are known to devour the males of the species during mating season. Not even during mating or after mating. It implies that it could just be like, hey, it's, you know, February on Ryloth. Watch out, dudes.
Watch out. Yeah, don't be careful if you swipe right. Yeah, that's wow. Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're going to go to Wikipedia for a little bit of more information. Sometimes the entries are relatively the same, but there was some stuff I pulled here. The Blurgs, were very versatile for various kinds of service, despite their poor intelligence. We're going to come back to that. Some Blurgs could also have a hostile disposition when provoked. I mean, yeah. When one Twi'lek Resistance member invited a clone to mount his Blurg, the Blurg roared and bucked as the clone unsuccessfully attempted to control it. Their viciousness when provoked made them useful in battle. Male Blurgs were eaten by females after the mating process. I forgot to take that out, but it's more information on that there, because that one makes it during the process.
Yeah, it is absolutely during the process. But I gotta think that male Blurgs are a little bit like, hey, did you notice Kevin and Dave are both gone? What happened?
Pete had a date last night. He come back. No? Okay. So we're going to discuss, kind of dive into the Blurgs of it all here. First, though, as always, Joseph, we begin with the description, and this we look to you first. How would you describe a Blurg?
I couldn't contain myself. I kept thinking of different ways to describe a Blurg. I think never has the name of an animal been more accurate in telling you what it looks like, right?
That's so true.
Both the name Blurg and the creature Blurg look like they used to be much longer, and then they just ran into something and compacted, right?
That's so accurate.
A couple other ways I thought to try to describe it is, you look at the Blurg and it's almost like, you know, you bought some model for some exotic dinosaur-like creature and then you lost all the torso pieces, so you just kind of shoved it together and said, good enough. I don't know where the other pieces went. I don't know. They fell in the sewer. I don't know. There's also, we'll talk more about it. The Blurg looks like a... almost looks like a cutified representation of another character, of like a larger animal, right? I was like, you know, the Blurg almost looks like an angry emoji or like a Funko Pop of a real animal, of like, these are not the accurate proportions, but this is a good representation. Like, I want to see if the Blurg is the Funko Pop. What does the real animal look like?
That's amazing. All accurate there. Yeah, my mind went to similar spots. It's like it's like a tadpole sprouted some legs, you know, stopped mid transformation to a frog there, right? And it's a tadpole with legs, sprouted teeth, and the soul of a chihuahua, just like running around. Or maybe like a T-Rex that stopped evolving. It's like, I'm good right here. It is an angry mouth with legs.
Yeah, it is. It's just nothing but head, and the arms really look like an afterthought of like, do we still need these? Are they pretty close to falling off evolutionary wise?
Yeah. it's great. And then, you know, generally speaking, you know, we consider something cute, particularly in the animal kingdom there, if it's got like oversized baby-like features, right? Big eye, big mouth, this There's something so not cute about the Blurgs that just kind of make them endearing to me.
Yeah. You know what I think it is that adds the terror? Like, it, definitely the big teeth, but they also have a little bit of Kool-Aid mouth in a lot of these pictures that I'm looking at. Like, their lips are red.
Yeah. There's some makeup slapped on them. Oh, and the teeth, everything about them. We already kind of get to some of our favorite parts, but that was my follow-up question is just, what is your favorite part of their design?
Oh, wow. I think in general, it is the big picture, all head, no filler, right? Of the just, it's the head on legs, right? But I think my other favorite part is that would be pretty cool. Like, they'd be a whole different thing if they had, like, kind of like even something weird like tentacles or big strong arms. The fact that they have these kind of classic T-Rex, what are these even good for arms? Like, can they, are the arms even strong enough to pick up any animal and get food to their mouth? Like, no. The little dangly, almost decorative arms is probably my favorite part.
That's great. I want to say that the mouth, just the teeth, just everything about it, but there's something about that tail that just makes it, it is tadpole like. As a kid, used to get tadpoles from the river when I was a kid. It really takes me back to those days, but it is so perfectly balanced. It's just the most weirdest, it's the weirdest blob of a creature design. It's everything you're saying. It's a smushed up design. It's like a half thought, but that tail just, it's just perfectly balanced for me. And it's a cute tail. I like little cute doggy tails, little cat tails. It's a cute tail.
It is a cute tail. And it is clearly the like absolute masterstroke of the evolution of this animal that it's got that massive but cute tail to balance the all head, no filler.
Yeah, because if it's just a little longer, it falls over.
Yep. Exactly.
Next part of discussion here. Unintelligent, hostile disposition, stoic. Hey, I'm stoic. Let's defend the Blurgs against such slights, Joseph. What say you to these descriptions of the Blurgs?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I understand, but I would also like, in almost a real world, you got to be like, hey, remember, every dictionary does have the bias of the person who wrote it, even if they're trying to be factual, right?
Yeah.
Like, did the person who wrote this entry on the Blurgs, did they witness a particularly upsetting mating session and the meal afterwards? Is that where this is coming from? Because yeah. I feel like with almost all these words, maybe unintelligent, put to the side, but hostile dispositions, stoic, like there are more positive ways to describe that, right? You could also just say, you know, Blurgs are really chill. They mind their own business and they're not bothered unless you bother them, right? There are nicer ways to say this.
Yeah. No, I think it's, look, the unintelligent thing. All right. I get it. Not all the animals are the brightest in the bunch. I understand. And we talk about hapabores and yopies, a lot of those kind of creatures. So maybe they're just simple, straightforward, you know, animals that just want to munch. I get it. Those teeth you want to eat. I got it. Put that aside. But yeah, the hostile disposition, especially from what we've seen, like, you know, Mando's being mean to him at first. They're on, Quill's territory, so they're protecting it, or, you know, well, those aren't his, I get it. But I think it's right. And then it's the stoic thing. Well, then what, you can't have both. Are they just kind of stoic, quiet, keeping to themselves, and then you're bothering them? And that's a problem? Come on. I'm defending the Blurg stoicism here.
Me too. There's something about, like, is stoic go with unintelligent and hostile? Like, maybe they just don't want to hang out with you today. Come on. Yeah, leave them alone.
Yeah, absolutely there. So here's, this is the fun part of this. I mean, it's been fun discussion so far, but I really wanted to get to this one. Blurgs are generally connected to Champs and Dula and the Twi'leks, using them as mounts as first seen in the Clone Wars back in 2009. That's where I remember first seeing them. But of course, that's not where I first saw them. They first appeared in 1985's Ewok movie, Ewoks, The Battle for Endor. So Joseph, I remember it might have, I have to admit, sometimes, you know, we like to, Star Wars fans think you know it all, right? Sometimes that's how you're judged. What's your trivia answer? I think I have to admit, it was in the discussion around Mando season one that someone pointed out they were from the Ewok movie. I think I thought they were from the Clone Wars. I definitely saw those Ewok movies. I definitely sat down in my living room as a kid to see them. No memory, of the Blurgs growing up in the 80s, 90s, and beyond. So what about you? Do you have a memory of those Blurgs from back in the day?
Very similar experience to what you just described. I watched both of those movies with great hope that there'd be maybe a lightsaber or two.
Yes.
Maybe a Wookiee. And I was a little disappointed. And I have zero memories of the Blurg, which is weird because I'm sure it was one of the parts I liked. Because I was watching it for I want to see as much Star Wars weirdness, excitement as possible. And I think they were kind of stop motion-y, right?
Yes.
And I liked that then. I like that now, and I liked it then. So I bet when I saw the Blurgs, I was like, yeah, all right. You know? But for some reason, I guess young me focused on the negative and not the positive. I should have clung to the Blurgs. That's the life lesson, because I don't remember them from watching it back in the day.
Cling to those Blurgs. Well, look, I remember Teak. I remember Wilford Brimley. I remember a lot of things. The Gorax. I remember a lot of things. I just don't remember the Blurgs, but that's part of the fun. And, I love that they brought them back for both Clone Wars, and it made perfect sense for Mando. It just kind of worked. I loved everything about that there. And I think I love this part. We talk about unintelligent, hostile disposition, stoic. The fact that they're brave, stout creatures, I think, racing in battle. That's important, you know?
I really liked them in the Clone Wars. And when they popped up in Rebels, I was like, oh, yeah. And they got some great scenes, great high action scenes in Rebels, too. Mm-hmm. So for me, I really did think of them as creatures from the very stylized animated world. So it was like this great, wonderful shock to see them live action in The Mandalorian and really not that different, you know?
Yeah,
it is funny how, you know, I tend to agree with the perspective, how Filoni has said in interviews, remember, everything in the animated show is stylized. So the Darksaber doesn't need to look exactly like that, just like Christopher Lee's face doesn't look exactly like Count Dooku. And you got the Blurgs over here going, no, we're pretty much exactly the same.
We're across the board. We're the same. I love that. That's amazing. It's a great note here. And of course, the design goes even before and goes beyond 1985's Ewok movie there. The design of the Blurgs was part of the concept art for The Empire Strikes Back. I didn't dig too much into that today. I didn't have time to put that in my notes, but I think, I could try, having these lead up to Tauntauns or something like that makes a lot of sense. But Joseph, I want to have fun with this idea. What if the Blurgs just showed up at Empire as is? How would you see them factoring into that movie of the Star Wars galaxy at that time?
I want them to just suddenly be racing down the halls of Cloud City with no explanation.
You and I went to the same spot. Clearly, changing up the Tauntauns or having them on Hoth totally makes sense. I would rather Yoda go, to my hut we go, on my Blurg we ride. And he has got a Blurg there, Luke gets on, R2 has to find a trail. And that's where I'd want them, Dagobah.
Oh, yeah. No, they would make a lot of sense on Dagobah. And they would highlight that scene if they were just really, really slow. And Luke was like, oh,
yeah.
Man, so much faster beasts. Come on.
Tauntauns are so fast. Stoic they are. Is how I would see it.
Eat their mates, they do.
But I love Cloud City works for me as well. Because imagine we got Lando who's, he's been in the puffer pig trade. We've got that. So getting in the Blurg trade, I could see that. I could see it. Having a pen of Blurgs,
Yeah, why not? Yeah. If there are puffer Blurgs, that's a thing I want to know about.
Oh, man. That's like when you get a dog, how did they mate these dogs? What? It's like a German Chihuahua Shepherd. What are you talking about here? Yeah, I would love to see some weird Blurg combinations there. We're having a lot of fun here. These Blurgs are great. What is the magic of Blurgs? What do they bring to the Star Wars saga, sir?
I think to me and for my aesthetic, they are the perfect Star Wars creature because they are extremely relatable to real life. You can look at them and you can think of animals from as varied as a T-Rex to a Chihuahua. And I can see both of those things in this animal. The way they're described, they're kind of strong and silent and stoic. They've even got what are they, cows? So they're very, very relatable to real life, but also extremely weird and alien, right? So they've got that going for them. And then sometimes I bang on about how I feel like Star Wars is sort of defined often by the contrast and tension. And one of the points of contrast and tension that I love in Star Wars is the absurd and profound at the same time. And the Blurgs they're hilarious, right? Because of all of the physical descriptions, because they look like they, you know, ran into a wall and accordioned like a cartoon into this, right? Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, especially with what we got in Mandalorian, they feel like a real sentient creature with a history and a perspective to the point where you and I are getting mad at them being insulted by their Wikipedia entry. So you got both sides of it to me of like, they're fun to joke about because they're so weird and bizarre looking. But at the same time, I'm like defensive about them because they have a real history.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying there because they're wonderful in Clone Wars and Rebels, but coming in Mando and such a powerful scene. It's early on in that Mando series where, you know, Din's learning to ride and the great speech from Quill. And there are these silly, they're so silly. There's very silly creatures. They're so Star Wars-y. They're so wild. What if a mouth had legs? Like, you know, like those in the '80s, they had those crazy, like baseball softballs, but they were like faces. They're like monster faces. I don't know. I had a bunch of those as a kid. It's those with legs, but they can be used for such profound moments. And just, that's what Star Wars is. It is serious and it is somber at times. Look at what's going on with Andor, but a Blurg could have been an Andor and it would have Dewey and Freedy would have absolutely loved hanging out with the Blurg. And I think that's part of the magic. The lessons come from so many unlikely sources in Star Wars, and so it is with the Blurgs.
Yeah, well said.
Well said indeed. No, that's just the Blurgs inspiring me because that's the magic they bring. We are going to take a quick break here on Data Bank Dive, but on the other side, we're going to make it personal. That's right. We're going to get personal with the Blurgs. So stick around for more Data Bank Dive.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Data Bank Dive. I don't know why I'm standing like a 1940s newsman. We're going to stick with it. I'm Ken Napsack. That's Joseph Scrimshaw. Across the virtual studio table here, we are diving into blurgs, these crazy, wonderful, silly, and profound and poignant creatures of Star Wars. These beasts of burden. I always hear Mick Jagger singing anytime I hear that phrase. I don't want to be your blurg of burden.
Walk for miles. My big feet are hurting. Never, never, never eat a mate again.
There you go. Perfect. We are a Weird Al of the Star Wars podcast. Blurgs play a big part in the journey and growth of Din Djarin on the Mandalorian, as we've been discussing. So, Joseph, you find yourself in a pen of blurgs. What lessons would a blurg teach you?
I think respect, to the way you phrase that. If I'm in a pen of blurgs, if they're stoic, if they're you know, running on their own time, their own schedule, I respect that. I'm used to going to people's houses and having animals who need a moment to adjust, right? And I was taught very young, no fingers, just offer your fist for animals to sniff. I think I would, that's the first thing I'd do. And if it looked like they had a hungry mood, I would learn to run.
Yes.
If I could survive meeting the blurgs, I don't know. They seem like just a great lesson in patience, right? Which almost seems like a little bit what's going on with Din, right? Of like frustrated, angry, doesn't want to be doing this. Cares more about the end game than where he is now, what he's doing, and it's calming down, taking the time, bonding with this animal. So I think calm down, take your time. That's another big lesson. I think another one is, when you're being treated poorly, it's okay to push back.
That's cool from them. Yes, I love that.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing. Is like, they can be violent. Yeah, when you're shooting them with flames and stuff. Yeah, they might bite you. Yeah.
I love this. Yeah, no, that's first of all, we had a real world example of this last week where you had a thing by my house to pick something up. And I was like, I'd like you to meet Franny because I am holding her in my arms, but she will murder you and your fist. A lot of stuff there. There's a lot for the lesson for me. I'm in Din's point of view is, I guess, not judge a book by its cover because, look at this silly creature. But also, I might look at it with a lot of fear. That's a pretty big mouthful of very sharp teeth. And, we've already discussed what happens during the mating process there. So I might approach them in a way that would lead with fear and add something to them that's not there. This hostile disposition, I don't want to put that hostility into them when it's not there. Well, maybe they want to work with me. Maybe they are stoic. Maybe they're like, hey, do you want to go in a battle? We'll take you there. Do you want to pull some carts? We'll pull for you. Just got to respect us. So I think that's the way there. And I think you're very right. The other way around is the blurgs know who they are. Blurgs, in their limited understanding of what they are, got their little tiny hands on it. They know who they are, and they're going to stand up for themselves. That's a valuable Star Wars lesson.
Right. Blurgs aren't sitting there going, I wish I was a Ronto, right? Are Ronto's lives going better than mine? They're like, no, we're blurgs and we're damn proud to be blurgs.
I wish it was a Ronto if it was a Shaq. Yeah. we can go into more songs here that we shouldn't.
My God. Blurgs and Shaqs are the opposite. If you mated them, you'd get like a much more normal animal with a normal sized body.
If you made it blurgs and checks, you would just have this bow tie of bulbousness. sides. The face and the butt. I would like to see some concept art from Four Center listeners of a blurg shack. A blur shack.
A black.
Oh man, that is, Anakin would definitely fall off that. That's
Oh yeah.
All right.
All right, trying to move on here. We've learned some valuable lessons from the Blurgs. We're at the Canto Bike Casino on Cantonica, and I will stress this, a humane, safe race, okay? A humane, safe race between a Blurg, a Tauntaun, and a Caddo is held. Which creature, what creature, Joseph, are you putting all your Republic credits on to win this race?
I want to say Blurg, but I think I got to give it to the Caddo.
And I'll add to it and see if this changes your bet. Again, keeping with this safe, humane, no riders on this. This is a free range race.
Yeah.
You going Caddo?
Yeah, because I think here's what I think happens. I think that even though the Blurg is fast, the Tauntaun's fast, I think the Caddo is afraid of the Blurg. I think the Caddo is running for its life.
From the Blurg.
I think the Tauntaun and the Blurg are like, great, you know, we're running, whatever, fine. I think the Caddo is, if I don't win this race, that is the end of me.
I love that idea. I didn't anticipate us playing out the race like it's an episode of Data Bank Brawl in a weird way, Data Bank Race. But I love this. I think the Caddo has a little fear in its heart. The Blurg has a lot of hunger in its heart. And I've always thought Tauntauns, they do need, and there's been some great stuff in the Empire Strikes Back from a certain point of view, the mother and everything, you really get into the heart and soul of Tauntaun. So I actually was moved by that story. But outside of that, I will say I've always been under the impression that Tauntauns maybe need a rider. Maybe need a guide. And I just think the Tauntaun, the starting gun goes off and the Tauntaun's just milling about, grazing, kind of just doing its own thing. Whereas the Caddo, as you say, is now, I agree with you, fear of its life, and the Blurg's hungry. So maybe the Blurg ends up with a snack and a win, or maybe the Caddo wins.
Yeah.
But I think I'd put my credits down on the Blurg.
Okay, wow. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely not the Tauntaun. There's just something about it that it feels like maybe if it was a marathon, maybe if it was like, can you pace yourself? Because the Tauntaun really does seem like they're just kind of like doop, ba doop, ba doop, ba doop.
Yeah. And they're clearly fast and they travel and yeah, I'm sure they've had outrun a Wampa in her day, but there's just something about Tauntauns that I get the feeling of they're easily distracted and on their own time.
My other part of this, why I give it to Caddo, is I do think there's a possibility that the Blurg might just sit down during the race.
Well, yeah, if the Blurg's like, hey, I want to remind you that a part of my description is stoic, I don't need to win.
Exactly.
What if you win? It's a deep philosophical question. And the Caddo is just running around. But I would love to see this happen. I would love to see this race take place. Final question of the making personal section here, Joseph, before we give our ratings. This is important. What would you name your Blurg?
I would name my Blurg Bev. You got the alliteration, which is always nice, but it's a short, blunt name that's still kind of elegant, right?
Yes.
And I feel like I've met Bevs in real life who are maybe, you know, they are in charge of, say, like a records office, right? And like, maybe Bev seems cranky, but you don't know everything that Bev has to put up with. And if you need something from Bev's records office, maybe you should ask with a lot of respect and then you'll see a different side of Bev.
You don't want to see a different side of Bev. That's great. That's great. I was going to go more direct, more pet-like, though I'm sure there's a dog out there named Bev. I was going to go with Munchie. Just straight up Munchie, because that's the vibe you get from the Blurgs.
But yeah,
I would love to see you and I riding Bev and Munchie into not battle, but just a bar crawl through the Star Wars galaxy.
The Blurg bar crawl would be beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Oh, we've had a lot of fun with the Blurgs. But as always, we're going to rate the wild, weird, wondrous factor of Blurgs. Our rating is based on the original Star Wars weirdo Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most. Joseph, how many Lobot heads do you give the Blurgs?
Well, I'm going to give literally 10 Lobot heads to Blurgs because I think that's how many they would eat if they were hungry. But also it is just straight up 10 out of 10. They are to me just like I said, they're so absurd, but they're still got like some depth and some character to them. They're tip of the iceberg. Star Wars, you look at them and you want to know more. How? Why?
Yes.
how fast can I run away from them? Can I make it No, and then once you figure out the mating almost breaks the scale, almost brings it to 11, but I'm giving them 10 out of 10 Lobot heads.
You know what? You convinced me. I'm going to be brave and bold. I'm going to ride in the battle with you. I'll go 10 out of 10 as well. They hit all categories. They're wild. Sometimes literally wild. They're definitely weird and just wondrous. And I give a lot of that credit to Quill and the Mandalorian show. Cham and the Freedom Fighters of Ryloth did a lot for the Blurgs, Ewoks as well. Let's not forget that. But there's just something. I just love that scene. I love that scene so much early on in Mandalorian. Just really set the tone for me personally, what's coming to the show. And so that's the wondrous side there. But then you look at those little hands, the mouth, that tail. It's some of the weirdest things in Star Wars. So 10 out of 10. 10 from you, 10 from me. Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah. Weird, wild, wondrous, and sometimes even wobbly. They got a fourth W.
They got a fourth W indeed. I did want to highlight this, though, in the forthcoming week here on January 24th. It is the birthday of the late John Hollis, who played Lobot in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh. So
just noticed that. I was looking through the records this week of StarWars.com's app. And so 1931, January 24th, John Hollis was born. We love Lobot. We love our weird Lobot rating. So happy birthday to the late, great John Hollis.
Agreed. All right.
There you go, my friends. That's it. We've done it. It's another episode of Data Bank Dive. Thank you so much. If you are finding us relatively for the first time, there's a lot of other things we do, and we sometimes go very deep into Star Wars, but other times we love writing blurgs around the galaxy. You can find links to all Force Center things on our Twitter page at Force Center Pod. There's link trees that'll get you to where you need to go, including our Patreon page. For me, you can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. You can get links to things like my show, Pop Rock and Radio, Blathering, Saturday Night Napsok, Casterly Talk, and all the other things I do. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my YouTube page. Just search for Joseph Scrimshaw. And if you want to find me other times, I'll just be sitting in my apartment thinking about blurgs.
Thinking about blurgs indeed. Bev and Munchie making their way to the Star Wars galaxy. That's it. Thanks for listening to Data Bank Dive.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.